6. Ephesians chapter 6. It's good to see each one tonight. We're thankful to be here together again tonight. We have some that are absent tonight, some that are sick. Be in prayer for them. Be in continued prayer for Judy. She's actually in the hospital right now getting the rest of a blood transfusion. So Rita's waiting in the back in case she gets called to go get her. So be in continued prayer for her. If you haven't heard, we had a COVID scare. Thought that perhaps Rhonda had COVID. She does not. She tested negative. So we're thankful for that. But on the other side of that, she has had some pretty serious fever. So something's going on. Not sure what that is. But be in prayer for her. Some others that are traveling, continue to pray for them. And all of those that are not here tonight. And us that are. Ephesians chapter 6. We are nearing the end of this letter to the Ephesus church. I'm not exactly sure where we're going to go afterwards. I think we might, for at least temporarily, go back to our minor prophet study for a while. We'll see about that. I've got two or three things rolling around in my mind, so we'll see how that works out. But we are coming to the end of this letter to the Ephesus church, but we're not there yet, and there is more yet to see. It's amazing when you dig into God's word, even in the final words, and just the closing of a letter, God's word is still God's word. And even the closing of the letter, it's still inspired, and it still is timeless. And there are truths to be gleaned in that. We're not actually to that closing just yet, but we are getting close. So, like I said, the section that we're going to look at tonight, there is more to see. And actually, speaking of seeing, the Apostle Paul has been instructing the Ephesus church and us through them. He's been instructing us about our need and God's provision of our need in this Christian soldier's armor. That's what we've been looking for at for the last several weeks. And surely the Apostle Paul has been telling us about this armor because he knows what it's going to take to survive this warfare. He knows what it's going to take to survive this fight of faith, Christians, that we're all engaged in. You may be on the sidelines, but there's still a fight going on. Okay, I hope none of us are on the sidelines. If we are on the sidelines, I hope this study will get us up off the sidelines and help us to get in the fight. And the Apostle Paul, in giving us this, we know this is inspired by the Spirit. So God, through him, is surely he knows what it's going to take for us to survive this fight of faith that is the Christian life. Paul understands, as he writes here, he understands the enemies of Christ and his followers. He knows all about the assault of our own natural flesh. He knows all about the real spiritual realm and the real spiritual enemies that are all around us of this realm. And he knows and understands these things because he has been fighting this fight. He has been fighting. Matter of fact, that very language, the fight of faith, that comes from Paul's words. We see the history of his life and how he speaks of his life in all of his letters. Obviously, he was in a fight. He was in a warfare against great spiritual enemies and as well as his own flesh. You see, he knows what he's writing here to us, to them and to us, because he's been fighting this faith. He is this soldier, or at least one of them, that he has been showing us. He has put on, he has taken up this whole armor of God. He is wearing and he is warring in it, even as he writes this letter to the Ephesian church. And now in verses 19 through 20, we actually get a glimpse of him in that armor. We get a glimpse of a soldier of Christ in arms. A soldier of Christ in arms. So let's take a look at it. Let's step back one verse to verse 18, just for a little context. You'll remember this from last week, where we saw this what prayer is all about. with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Okay, and now tonight. And pray on my behalf, opening of my mouth, speak boldly as I ought to speak. So we understand that though Paul is using the physical illustration of a Roman soldier's outward armor, this armor that he is illustrating, the armor of God, is actually not outward armor. Okay? No, it's inward. It's actually a mindset. A mindset. A spiritually moved, a spiritually motivated mindset. I hope we all understand that. He's not telling us to put something on the outside. This is the warfare is in the mind. He tells us that. It's in the mind. That's where Satan attacks us in our mind, or even our flesh works in our mind. Okay? So this though he's using a picture, an illustration of outward armor, the armor that he's actually illustrating is in the mind. It's a mindset, a spiritual mindset. And that mindset is what we get a glimpse of here in these two verses. So what do we see? What does this armor actually, if I can use these words, look like on a true Christian soldier? What does it look like? What does this mindset look like? What is the outward demonstration of this mindset? And if we can see what it looks like on this true Christian soldier, then we should understand that's what it should look like in our lives as well. Okay? First, notice that the true soldier of Christ, he knows his own need. He knows his own need. Here on one of the greatest Christian soldiers that ever walked the face of the earth, the Apostle Paul, here he says to these saints, which many of them were undoubtedly saved under his ministry, here he says to this church that he started and was a pastor of himself, here he, if you will, the father, speaking to his children, what does he say? Pray for me. Pray for me. In the context, like I just taught you to pray, pray that way for me. Pray for me in the Spirit. Pray to God for me. Pray according to God's word for me. Pray and beg for all saints and for me too. What is this prayer request? What does that say about the mind of this soldier of Christ? He's saying, I need God's help. Pray for me. I need God's help. I need Him. So this man, the Apostle Paul, this faithful soldier, this faithful armored soldier, he realized, he was fully aware of how desperately he needed the Lord. He was fully aware of how desperately he needed the Lord if there was any hope of him overcoming his great enemies and their warfare against him. If there was any hope of him successfully fighting and warring in this fight of faith. If there was any hope of him succeeding in the Christian life, truly succeeding in the Christian life, if there was any hope of that, he knew that he needed the Lord. Pray for me. Pray for me. And listen, saints, all of us, we all have the same enemies. We all have the same warfare. We all have the same God. But do we know how much we need Him? Do we know how much we need Him? Do we realize how much we need Him? I do believe that one of the greatest hindrances and the greatest downfalls in the modern Christian's life, and that includes mine, is a false sense of self-sufficiency. I think that's why our prayer lives are lacking. I think that's why our relationship with God's Word is lacking. I think that's why our church attendance lacks. I think that's why the right estimation of the church and the church's work lacks. Really, just a general indifference with all of the means of God's grace that he has provided for us, for us to war in this warfare. We cannot do this without him. You cannot do life without God, let alone the Christian life. That's how much you need him. That's how much we need. That's how much I need him. We desperately need him. I fear that we think in our minds that we think we need so... We may never say that, but our actions speak louder than our words. I think we need so much, so many other things more than we need the Lord. We put so many other things and the priority of so many other things first before the Lord, before what he has commanded us to do, before the means of grace that he has provided us for us to partake in. We put all of those things before him. And that's just the display of us thinking we can do this without him. Fathers, you think you can provide for your family without the Lord? Ain't no way. Ain't no way. Because guess what? All the money in the world ain't going to provide for your family. Not what they need. That's the least of what they need. Fathers, they need you walking before them, giving them a display of this soldier in arms. That's what your children need. They need us directing the way, fathers. Mothers, you think you can give your children what they need without the Lord? There ain't no way. Nothing. We can do nothing without him. You know, Jesus meant what he said when he said, you can do nothing without me. He knew what he meant, and he meant what he said. We need the Lord. This true soldier of Christ is fully aware of that. Just put in your mind, we just finished the book of Acts. Put in your mind who is saying this. The Apostle Paul. Pray for me. Pray for me. Somebody, everybody, pray for me. I need the Lord. I can't do this. I can't do life, let alone Christian warfare, without him. The true Christian soldier is fully aware of his need. We also see here that not only does the true, faithful, effective soldier of Christ know his own need, but also, hear this, it's along the same lines, but it's a little more personal. He knows his own weaknesses. He knows his own weaknesses. You ever met anyone, and I know you have because I have 3 years of, you know. You ever met anyone who does not know or at least does not act or talk like they have any weaknesses? You know what our reaction to that is, right? One of them. Oh, my goodness. I can remember years ago running a shop, and you'd have people come in, you'd interview them. And, you know, these guys, you know, I've been doing it for years and years. You know, the life of an automotive technician in the independent world, when you're up against dealerships and all the things they're trying to hide from you, and they want everything to come back to them, you're up against, you know. And these guys come in and they build up this big self-resume of themselves and how they don't need any help. And, you know, I've got all the tools I need, and they got a box about the size of this. I said, yeah, you know, one of them. Okay. But have you ever met anybody like that who doesn't think they have any weakness? Imagine the eye rolls that God must give us. He's got to be going on. He'll show us how much we need him, and in the next breath, we think we got it. I got this. I don't need anybody. I don't need any help. I don't have any weaknesses. Well, you know what? This true soldier of Christ, he was not afraid to admit that he had weaknesses. Actually, he repeats one of those weaknesses twice in these two verses. He does. Do you see what he asked them to pray for twice here? He asked them to pray for boldness. For boldness. And really, this is quite a remarkable admission by the man Paul, if you think about it. This man who was once Saul, the mouth-foaming, relentless persecutor of Christians. this is the man who now is asking to prayer for, pray for me that I might have boldness. And this boldness, this word here, you know what he's asking for? Fearlessness. Fearlessness. And you know why, church? Well, Paul was surely a student of Genesis. He surely was. He knew what the opposite of faith is. Fear. Fear. And he knew his own tendency, his own weakness to fear. I kind of picture, and this could be totally wrong, I'll have to see it, see him when I see him someday. I kind of picture, especially the young Paul, as kind of a short man. And he probably had short man's syndrome. You ever been around anybody with short man's syndrome? They're pretty tough to deal with. You know, they stick out their chest and try to make themselves taller. And, you know, that's kind of what I figure. You know, all of that is really insecurity. But now, spiritually armored, he knows himself. He knows his weaknesses. He realizes he has a weakness to fear. He knows it. He's lived it. You can tell when he's begging this church to pray for him, and he repeats this weakness twice in this little short two phrases, he knows his tendency to fear. So he tells his church, please pray for me. I need the Lord, and I need him to remove my selfishness. So, soldiers of Christ, do you know and freely admit your weaknesses? Or have you got yourself all propped up on the slippery rock of your own pride and self-sufficiency? So, no self-sufficiency, no pride for this soldier of Christ, right? But do we know why? We can actually see it right here. It is because this faithful soldier of Christ knew his position. He knew what his life, his whole life, was really all about. Look at verse 20. For which, notice this phrase, I am an ambassador in chains. I am an ambassador in chains. You know, we should all understand, as soldiers of the Almighty, soldiers of the Sovereign, soldiers of the Christ of God, who is God of very God, we should all understand that that means, him being who he is, we being who we are, that means nothing about our lives is a coincidence. Nothing about your life is a coincidence. It's not. So, nothing about our circumstances, nothing about our position, nothing about our state of life is a coincidence either. It's all on purpose. It's all on purpose. So since our circumstances are on purpose, they're on God's purpose, it's his purpose for our lives, he's working in that and through that. Since our circumstances are on purpose, our circumstances, therefore, do not change our responsibility. Actually, according to this man, this apostle, our circumstances actually should motivate our responsibility and motivate our faithfulness to our responsibility. You remember in 2 Corinthians when he asked the Lord three times, remove this. Man, I got a bad circumstance. It's like Satan beating me with it. Well, the Lord said, no, I'm not going to remove it. My grace is sufficient. You're mine. That should be enough for you, Paul. You're mine. And then he goes on to say, okay, I believe that. I trust that. I see that, Lord. And now your power is glorified in my weakness. So I will gladly be weak so that you may be glorified. See, his circumstances, he learned, I'm going to read a text here in a minute that tells us that. He learned that his circumstances did not disannul his responsibility, but he learned that his circumstances motivate his responsibility, his faithfulness. Listen to how he puts it in Philippians 4. He said, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. That's That's saying something for this man, right? What we know about his life, especially in this time period that he writes to the Philippian church. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. In other words, I can score a touchdown. That's not what he's saying. No, I can be content with nothing. I can be content when the circumstances are so dreary. I can be content. When everything seems so out of control, I can be content. He is saying that his state of life and his state in life is immaterial. Get that? His state of life is immaterial. Rich or poor, hungry or full, free or in chains, free or in prison. Regardless, he's saying, I'm not my own. What does he say here? I am an ambassador. I am a representative of Christ, which means, as an ambassador, what that means, he's my life. He's my life. I'm not my life. That's when your circumstances sideline you is when you're your life. Listen, then. Me too. But Paul was saying, no, I'm an ambassador of Christ. That's my position. He's my life. He's my living. So this soldier of Christ did not have his own life, did not have his own life that he lived for himself, and then his religious life that he lived for Christ. No, you know why? Because that is not the Christian life. You hear that? To have your own life that you live for yourself, and then your religious life that you live for, quote unquote, live for Christ. That is not the Christian life. That is the heresy of Gnosticism. That's what that is. No, Paul, this faithful Christian soldier, he had one single life. All lived for Christ. And he humbly submitted, he humbly surrendered to this life. A life lived for another. So he knew the position of his life and of his living, an ambassador of Christ. You know how he said it in another place. For me to live is Christ. If I'm breathing, I'm breathing for Christ. And if I die, if I stop breathing, it's all gain. So he knew that his position of his life and living. He also, we see here, he also knew the power of this position in his life. You know, it's interesting, in his former life, Saul's power was found in man-given authority. It was found in his own willingness and ability to hate. It was found in his own willingness and ability to inflict pain, inflict suffering, inflict torture. But how different the power of this new God-given position. Do we all see it here in these two verses? Really, it's the purpose of this entire prayer request. It's the power, look at it, it's the power of verse 19, utterance and opening my mouth. It's what he says, it's what he's praying for. Pray that the Lord will give me utterance and that I will open my mouth. Verse 20, it's the power of proclaiming and speaking. Proclaiming and speaking. So let's learn something. That's what he's praying for. Okay, of all the things he might pray for, he doesn't pray for them. He prays for the Lord to give him utterance, that he will open his mouth, that he will proclaim, and that he will speak. Okay, there's a real lesson here as far as being a soldier of Christ. There's a real lesson. It's a really important lesson. I don't want to lose the balance of it, but we need to see this here. We see here something of this inward armor on the mind. We see how this inward armor of his mind, God's armor in the soldier's life, but it's in the mind, right? We can see how it came out. How did it come out? It came out through his mouth. It came out through his speech. It came out through his proclamation. Now, let's get this now. A life well lived is a good thing. Hear me. Don't misquote me. Don't not hear what I'm saying right now. A life well lived is a good thing. Being well-mannered, being pleasant, being a nice person, a kind person, that is a good thing. I mean, God's Word tells us that a good name is better than gold. But you hear me, it is not enough. It is not enough. I know sometimes it's the easy road, you see. We like the easy road. Sometimes we think, well, if I just live out it, I don't want to lose the balance here, but we think if I just live out my life in front of everybody, that's enough. If I'm a good person, that's enough. I'm just going to let the gospel shine through me, through my life. Hear me? It should, okay? It should. But that's not enough. That's not enough. Soldiers of Christ, we must also speak. We must also speak, and not just anything or generally. But notice this faithful arm, this faithful soldier's priority. This is this armor working out of him. Okay? This is how it comes out and how it's displayed for us to see. Notice his priority. Notice the priority of his armored mind. Can we all see it in this text? What is his priority? What is his priority? I mean, let me say it like this. Of all the things he might ask prayer for, in his circumstances, being wrongfully imprisoned, literally chained by the wrist to a Roman guard as he wrote this letter. He had a Roman guard right there, chained to his wrist, imprisoned, wrongfully so, for years. By this time he was in Rome, he'd been imprisoned, wrongfully imprisoned for years. And everything else that went with first century Roman imprisonment. We know, because we finished Acts, we know that he was favored somewhat, but he was still a prisoner. He still endured much that's not recorded on the pages. Okay? In that kind of circumstance, saints, what if it was us? What if we were in his circumstances? Shoot, even in our own circumstances, right now, would his priority... Or is his priority, is it ours? I mean, really? Really? Of all that he might have desired and even was in real need of, his top priority, the one desire of his spirit-sanctified, spirit-armored mind, was that this church would pray for him because he knew his desperate need of the Lord. He knew his own weaknesses and insufficiency. And so he begged them, please pray. Pray this one thing. The prayer request is single, y'all. Of all that he might have asked prayer for, the prayer request is single. Pray this one thing that I would fearlessly give utterance to speak, proclaim what? The mystery of the gospel. That was his priority. So what does that priority say about the mindset of this soldier of Christ? Well, if you boil it all down, it says this. He knew the truth. He knew the truth of God. He knew the truth about himself. And he knew the truth of others. He really understood the priority of the work of the kingdom of God in relation to the kingdoms of this world. He understood how temporal this world and this life is. This world and this life, our lives are passing away. I stood before a casket yesterday with the body of a man in it. All of us are going to own a casket just like that. We're all going to own one. It's guaranteed. And it's going to be fast, y'all. I'm 53 or 4, I can't remember. 4? 3. I can't remember. You know how fast 53 or 4 years go by. It's so fast you can't keep up with them. I mean, I think about things that seemed like yesterday, and they've been years, years. You know, I'll be here 7 years in just a couple months, 7 years. I can still remember driving that U-Haul, turning the corner by the bank, and all of y'all standing in the street. And all of y'all, college girl right there, little bitty thing. Well, maybe not that little thing. But a lot of y'all were little bitty. Like that. It's gone. We put so much emphasis and so much energy into these lives, and they're fleeting by. And everybody around us, their lives are fleeting by too. And we're all headed to a certain destination. This man, the Apostle Paul, he knew that. He understood this. He understood the priority of the soul, the eternal soul of men, women, boys, and girls in relation to the physical life. And the priority of his life, because his priority was the gospel. What was the priority of his life then? The soul. Soul. Our bodies will cease to exist. This tent, you know that. 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about the tent. And he's obviously talking about our bodies there. You understand a tent. Anybody ever slept in a tent? Go ahead, raise your hands if you have. Are you still sleeping in the tent? No. It was a temporary thing. For some of you ladies, it was very temporary. Right? Yeah. Very temporary. That's what he's saying there. Temporary. Fleeting. These bodies are going to be gone. Our souls, in the real scheme of things, our life after this life is so much bigger, so much greater than this life. But we spend all our energy focused on this life, don't we? Or most of it, without the truth and without walking in the truth. That's exactly what we do. We spend so much of our priority on this life. Well, this faithful soldier of Christ, he didn't. He knew the truth. He knew the truth about God. He knew the truth about himself. He knew the truth about you, us. And so his priority was the gospel. He knew the truth, and it's the same truth today. It's the same truth today. This mystery that has been veiled to the ages previously has now been opened clearly unto us. And not just factually opened, but opened unto us as being the very power of our God and Creator unto His salvation. Real salvation from our sins. Real salvation from the unending wrath of God forever against our sin. This gospel, the good news of God's grace salvation given to sinners through His Son Jesus Christ, Paul knew and understood. He knew and understood as a faithful soldier of Jesus Christ. He, in the position of an ambassador of Christ, he knew that the proclamation of this good news, because it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save sinners, Paul knew the very top priority of his life. It was, and it had to be. It had to be. Matter of fact, notice how the last words of verse 20, it was something he ought to do. That phrase there doesn't mean, well, I ought to do that. No. He's talking about it's right to do it. Knowing the truth, this priority of proclaiming the gospel, it's what is right to do. I won't be right unless I'm doing that. That's what that ought to do means. He knew he must boldly, fearlessly proclaim the true gospel of Jesus Christ. True soldier of Jesus Christ. This is what the Spirit armored mind looks like outwardly. Can we all see this example here of what a true and faithful soldier of Jesus Christ, one whose mind is armored with the whole armor of God, can we see what he looks like? Can we see what he knows, how he thinks, the power and the priority of his life? I'm going to tell you, man, these two little verses, and as you know, if you run right past them, it's a prayer request. When we really dive into who is giving this request, to whom he is giving these, what he is asking for, and the one thing, of all the things a man in his circumstances could have asked for, could have prioritized. What is it? Lord, help me. Pray for me that I might proclaim as your ambassador the mystery of the gospel, that I might do it fearlessly. Fearlessly. Can we see that? The priority of his life. It's really very simple, simplistic. It's single, isn't it? What's his priority? It's Christ. It's Christ Jesus the Lord. Christ Jesus his Savior. Christ Jesus the Savior. The only Savior. It's his gospel. Making the glory of God in Christ Jesus known through opening his mouth and speaking the gospel. Simple. That ought to be our priority. That ought to be our priority. And we might say, well, that's simple enough. You boil it all down. It's not hard. No, I'm not going to say it's not hard. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. We add so many things of our own self to all of that, but it's not. What the Lord has actually, you know, we think God's called us to save everyone. No, he's not. You can't. I can't. Not anybody. He's called us to use his tools, to do his work, and he saves whom he will. And that work is simply having a priority in our life that is based on the real truth of speaking fearlessly, fearlessly speaking the gospel, boldly proclaiming the gospel. Simple enough. You might be thinking, well, even I can do that. And yes, it is simple, and yes, you can. You can. But a warning. Not a discouragement. Don't take this as discouragement, but a warning. A warning. When we really prioritize our life like this, when we really do, that is when we will really find out how much we need the Lord. That is when we will find out how weak we really are. That is when we will find out why we must put on and take up the whole armor of God when we prioritize our life like this. As Peter put it, don't be surprised at the fiery trial that will come upon you to test you. It will. But even so, may the Lord give us this same mind that we see displayed here in these two verses of a prayer request from Paul, a soldier in arms. May the Lord help us.